100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all know this. 380 of these weekly challenges. This one's about Spark. I posted the topic. You guys wrote stories. Most of you recorded them. We put them in a bundle. Blah, blah, this goes here and that goes here. Yeah, you can tell I'm excited about this week. Just, oh no, he burns out. How about I just get right to it, huh? Okay, first story. Tom put one together here. He's still doing that whole dramatic, well-defined relationship thing. So you can string them all together, make a book out of them. Maybe sew them into a blanket, cover the entire Washington Mall. I don't know. It doesn't even look like a mall. I mean, where's the Cinnabon? You know, it's got a statue, it's got a big spike. Dude, where's the Orange Julius stand? That's not a mall. What the hell? Tom, his story.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is A Well-Defined Relationship, Part 9. Timmy made his way across the lobby. The kid behind the counter was just a few years older than he. "What you got?" asked the kid. LED nameplate flashed sparky. Tim laid down a sylvan wheel. "Sorry, pilgrim. 2 cubes. Organic replicating program cubes were the wealth that had made Anonymous the Knights Templar of the Outer Rim." Over Sparky's shoulder, Tim saw his John Wayne altar. The speed that one's god infests the surroundings was uncertain. Seems Timmy was favored. Tim started whistling. She wore a yellow ribbon. "The Prophet," yelled Sparky. "May the Duke be with you."
Ooh, things are getting rough over there in the Tomiverse. Thank you, Tom. Next up, I've got the weekly challenge project folder here with everything numbered 01, 02, 03. I can just drag and drop them. I've got the email box, which has everybody in a mixed up order. And I've got the head of the post, the show notes draft here, which has everybody's links. And I'll probably get them out of order still. So even though 02 is Lizzie Goodcough, I could just go crazy and just throw someone in at random. Not going to do it, though. That would be chaos. We don't want chaos on this pod. I see one of the stats bar, and then I see another of the stats bar. Hold on. This is horribly confusing. All these apps and stuff. Now, wait. Does that go under utilities? No, that's stats bar. I like stats bar. It lets me clean my memory every now and then and fool myself into thinking I'm running this laptop efficiently. Okay, so next up is Lizzie. All right, here we go. Lizzie's story.
"Perish the thought," said his mother, alarmed, when he showed her the website. But the thought refused to perish. This particular thought seemed rather appealing to John, the geeky kid. He always wanted to be one of the cool boys. The expectation of partying all the time made him walk boldly to the pub where the cool boys hung out. There was a bit of pushing and shoving, which he thought was quite inconsiderate. But after that, all he could remember was seeing beautiful sparks flying in the air and not-so-cool boys screaming. It was an explosive party. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes, she will talk to us next week. Thank you. Now I want to run Growl. You know, all Growl is just a pop-up in the corner. That's all. Although it can do, like, scripting and fancy stuff, and whenever you get a message from Fred, you know, the dancing Freds go across the bottom of your screen. You can do all sorts of crazy shit. I don't know. All that stuff makes me feel inadequate. You know, I did this and this and that, and I made it through this, and now it's, you know, ventriloquizing with the hinge on my laptop. And it's like, really? Oh, well. Why can't people just be satisfied with what you need gets done? So I'm in the den today. Plugged in the HDMI cable to the old TV, which isn't all that old. But now everything is really huge. So I've got the audio shit going on the laptop display, the fancy Retina display. And then the big TV is where all the text is, which, of course, is inadequate for reading text. Everything's all wobbly. Maybe I need a better... I keep thinking that Apple Cinema display... Oh, God. $1,000 for that? I mean, come on, really? There's got to be something that's like an Asus that's even better for like $300. We're going with these fancy smart TVs. They sell the smart TVs that are like 32 inches for like $20 now. So that the government can spy on you. Whatever. Jeffrey? Sure. Okay, let's go with Jeffrey. Wow, my rambles are really, really pointless today.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with this week's stories for the Weekly Challenge on the topic of Spark. I'm a little sad that July is over and I'm no longer Cousin Larry. It was kind of nice being in a large extended family and not being the weirdest one. I'm pretty confident I can say that truthfully. I find it interesting how other people find time to write and how they go about it. As for me, I'll confess that I'm not the most organized person. So I'll write in a notebook, or possibly jot down some ideas in a notebook while writing on the Mac at home, or just giving up on both and writing on the iPad at work. Sometimes scraps of paper are involved, and that's no doubt a sure sign of a disorganized mind. I hadn't thought about skywriting, but in a pinch... Well, no, I guess I can't transcribe that quickly. Anyway, on with the stories. My first story is called Sparks Fly. Cliché though it was, sparks did fly when Al met Bernice's eyes and their hands touched. True, the sparks were from the static buildup on the carpet in the dry dance hall, but from that moment on, they were inseparable. When, after more than 60 years of marriage, he died during the coldest December that anyone could recall, Bernice was paralyzed by grief. At the funeral, she finally brought herself to say goodbye the only way she could, by scuffing her feet on the carpet, touching his cold hand, and seeing sparks fly one last time. My second story is called Shaken, Not Stirred. The professor tightened one last bolt before stepping back to admire his handiwork. The spark of genius, he thought. Now to test his masterpiece. He pulled the lever and watched his gears whirred and set various components into motion. Faster and more precise than any human hands, the machine set about its mission. With one final clank, the equipment shut off. Mwahaha, the professor cackled. With this device, I shall rule the world. He picked up the glass, sipped. Ah, the perfect martini, down to the olive garnish. Now for the next step, an option to make a Manhattan instead.
Okay, I gotta tell you something. One, we're not really an extended family. And two, yes, you are the weirdest one. Thank you, Jeffrey. And whatever we are this month, I'm sure you'll keep trying to get under my skin. Right? More stories? Okay. All right, you asked for it. How about one from Richard? You want one from... You want several from Richard? Oh, one isn't enough for you, huh? Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? Four stories. Oh, yeah. North, South, East, and Brooklyn. Here we go.
Hi, it's me again. It's that time again. So what are we waiting for? Topic was Spark. This one is called Night Freight. Quickly, George jumped down to examine the nearest container. It was chained shut, which suited him fine. Grabbing a metal bar from the floor, he began to prise the doors open, desperately trying to make as little noise as possible. knowing it could attract unwelcome attention and spark who knows what trouble. Finally, he was inside, jamming the door shut behind him. Exhausted, he settled down to sleep. He was woken by the groaning of metal and an enormous shudder as the shipping container tilted crazily and began to sway from side to side. What the hell was happening now? This one's called Chemistry, and it's inspired by a real chemistry teacher. Doc Schwartz was always trying to spark our interest in chemistry, but the odds were very much against him. We were more interested in carving our names on the lab desks and setting fire to the gas taps. It didn't help that he was completely hopeless at chemistry. Almost every experiment was either a total flop or so utterly pointless that we lost the will to live before it was over. That was until he tried to demonstrate the explosive properties of hydrogen. The explosion sent both the school and Doc Schwartz into orbit. Now that definitely got our attention. My next story is called Wildfire. The fires had raged for over a week now, relentlessly destroying towns and communities in their path and claiming innocent lives. They were the worst experienced for as long as anyone could remember. The cause, according to official sources, was almost certainly a spark from a careless camper's barbecue. Such devastation from such a tiny source of ignition. It never ceased to amaze me that people could be such idiots when the conditions were as dry as these. When will they learn, I thought to myself, walking away whilst absent-mindedly tossing my cigarette into a handy patch of undergrowth. My last story is called Twinkle Twinkle. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how we wondered what you are, and how we watched your spark of light growing brighter every night. As astronomers each day by day carefully tracked your route across the Milky Way, your presence grew until scientists knew the shocking truth that you brought with you. For you were no star, but a glowing rock, a meteorite that held a shock. For your route, now known, it was clear to all that upon the Earth you would finally fall. That tiny spark would bring death to all, the end of life, the final curtain call. And on that happy note, I shall bid you goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. So I'm sitting on like $380 of credit at Southwest Airlines because I didn't go to Tampa in January. I won't talk about it. So I'm thinking, okay, I could go to Oklahoma City this month and catch George Springer playing for the OKC Redhawks before he gets called up to the Astros. All right, I could do that. I'm waiting for my wife to actually get me my silver pass from Disney. So I could go to Orlando and get huge discounts on spending on a lot of crap at some place where there's a big fucking rat. I could just hop over to San Antonio and just laze at the Riverwalk for a day or two. You know, get totally hammered and just read and look for Wi-Fi and be on my laptop all the time. Or where else? Go to southwest.com and look up somewhere and think of somewhere that's, you know, isn't going to be like $500 both ways, but somewhere within that budget that I'm like, oh, you should probably go there. That doesn't take a lot of effort, that I could like hop on a train and then like get to wherever, or hop on a bus or something, so I don't have to fucking drive, and somewhere that's, I should go. Give me a suggestion. You know? This is one of those getaways. I don't really feel like getting away from anything. But, you know, in August, I've got 1.5 days left off, so I could tack that onto a weekend. And it's still good in September. But then, you know, the September call-ups will happen, and then George Springer will be with the Astros, and then we'll be like, oh my god, he's so awesome, and everyone else sucks so much. At least they got rid of that Maxwell guy. Oh god, it was brutal. What serendipity story? Okay, maybe I can fly and see Serendipity. I don't. You can, hey, you can fly and see me. Yeah, you can fly for 12 hours. No, I'm not spending 12 hours on 4 different planes and making 2 different connections. And, oh, why don't you just fly in a circle? Oh, actually, that might be. Okay, here's Serendipity's story.
Hi. Long time no see, I exclaimed, giving the guy a huge hug. To be honest, I didn't recognize him at all. And judging by his expression, there was no spark of recognition on his part either. It had been like that all evening. I hated reunions at the best of times, but this was dreadful. So far I had not spotted anyone remotely familiar. Still, 30 years is a long time. It was only when I nipped outside, I spotted the sign above the door. Office Supplies Conference. Class of 76 reunion was across the hall and down the corridor.
Actually, those office supplies guys, oh, they are a riot, I'll tell you. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Serendipity. That's story number, well, file number 5. Not story number 5. Richard had 4, and Jeffrey had 2, and Tom, his is like an epic adventure. So, yeah. You know, thoughts on where to fly to. Fly. I've got the fly anywhere card. You know, I thought about, is there an option to give those to, like, medical flights or soldiers coming home kind of thing? You know, donating that or deporting illegal alien drug dealers? Like, oh, we've sequestered all the money to get rid of all these drug dealers, so we must raise the debt limit more to spend more on our pork. You know, is there any way to donate money to that so that, you know, the government doesn't get more blank checks? I don't know. What? More stories? Less of ramble? Sure. Cliff is here. And he's having a good time. Are you having a good time, Tinny? Tinny's asleep and curled up in my feet. Yes, you're precious. Okay, so I'll tell you the Tinny story after Cliff's. Okay? Here we go.
My grandfather was a spark. That's the nickname they gave telegraph operators back in the old days. He'd spend his days sending the private messages of others around the country. What no one realized was that the sparks would often add their own postscript to the telegrams they sent. When a well-dressed man came into the office and sent a marriage proposal to the daughter of a powerful industrialist, Grandpa sent the message, and he added an instruction to the spark at the other end. Advise her to say no, stop. He is cheap bastard, stop. No tip, full stop. And here's my second story on spark. When a civilization was found, it was pounded until life was obliterated. Worlds with simple life were poisoned until sterile. The last world that the robotic probe had visited had been covered in single-celled creatures. Seemingly harmless, but one day they could evolve into a threat. The world was bathed in radiation until everything was dead. This world was no threat, however. A barren sea and empty rocks. The probe removed it from the list of worlds to watch and blasted off, shedding passengers from the previous stop, tiny sparks of life that would someday challenge the stars themselves.
Thank you, Cliff. My grandfather was a spark, too, set off the Hindenburg. Wow. How do you pronounce that? Blimp. Whew, okay, so Tinny. My wife keeps beer in an ice cooler outside because apparently it's not cold enough either in the fridge, although we have plenty of space in the fridge now, and we keep it so cold that it does freeze milk. So, yeah, that's So she puts it in a cooler outside, and there's ice in there, and, you know, the ice eventually melts and becomes ice water. Tinny, we've started letting wander around outside a little bit, although we keep an eye on her, and she stays on the patio. She hasn't learned to jump the fence yet. So, but we keep an eye on her. So in case she does jump on the fence, yay, she jumped on the fence. Shit, she's going to get run over one day. So the ice cooler usually has a lid on it. It didn't. So we're sitting inside, and we hear splash, rumble. And then Tinny runs in like a bolt, sits on a towel, and just, growling. She likes to jump on the cooler when there's a lid on it. And apparently she, cowabunga. So wet, cold kitty had to towel her off. She was not a happy kitten. But Mist likes to run out in the rain. And she loves being toweled off. Not this cat. So, you had yourself an adventure yesterday, little girl. She's asleep. She doesn't give a shit. Should I just play Sing's story? Sing has been having some, entered some into contest. He asked for advice on which ones, and it was like, no! I'm going to do this one instead. Well, fine. Don't ask me for advice. No, actually, I pulled names out of a hat. This little hat right here, the one that Frisky used to wear. So here's Singh and his story. And this will probably win some contest and weekend in Bali and cool stuff. He'll send photos one day.
Traveling Camera by Chris Mooney Singh. When Ivan Xiao saw a hand-sized bag on the side table, he couldn't resist grabbing it. There was a camera inside. Conscience told him to hand it in, but the tag attached read, "Journey beyond your expectations. Use me and upload to freecamera.blogspot.com. Afterwards, relinquish me at any airport." Time Sparks was written on the flip side. Ivan accessed the site on his phone. Yes, there was a blog, and this was the password. Now his flight was being called. He quickly popped the camera into his bag, intending to use and pass it on, honoring the instruction. Auntie Mingxia lived in Caulfield. She had fed Ivan so amply, he wanted to show his appreciation. "Let me take your photo, Auntie." Next morning, he got a train to Flinders Station. Killing time, Ivan clicked random shots, a punk girl with rainbow hair, an indigenous man dunking donuts at a stand-up cafe. He snapped Melbourne's rush hour trams, appreciating their slow historical charm. After his meeting, Ivan got someone to photograph him with his client. Back at Auntie's, checking the blog, he said he could only upload 5 pics. Ivan selected the best. 3. He liked the portraits and the street shots, but wasn't expecting what uploaded in their place. The street of trams became a Melbourne of futuristic flying shuttles. Uploading Auntie revealed a Chinese lady in 19th-century blue silk robes. The rainbow punk girl morphed into a Marie Antoinette-style aristocrat, her high coiffure ribboned with rosettes and central sun brooch. the indigenous, Donut Man, now an Aboriginal on one leg balanced by a spear, was offering the welcome gift of gum leaves. Ivan studied more closely. No travel shots anywhere, just history and incomprehensible futures. Not all the pictures were pleasant. There were also scenes of poverty, starvation, and panoramas of chaos. The photograph of himself and his Melbourne clients seemed privileged by comparison. He recognized his own face in the Chinese waiter accidentally upending a cocktails tray over a colonial man puffing on his cigar. Modern Singapore hadn't prepared him for these time-bending images. Were they sparks from the past, glimpses into the future, reincarnation evidence through ultimate time-lapse photography? That night, he taxied to Tullamarine Airport and discreetly left the camera on a bar top before joining his flight home. Ivan lost the Melbourne contract and some office prestige. Was this connected to the blog? As regional manager, he travelled more, and luckily business improved in other sectors. Meanwhile, he studied world civilizations. The engineering feats and natural resources needed to create such epic structures. He also read up on projected technological toys of progress. Flying cars were coming. He imagined them against Singapore's Astro Boy skyline. From time to time, Ivan checked out the blog site too. Yes, the camera was still traveling, uploading provocative posts under the common ID Spark. With economic balance shifting in Asia's favour, would greed breed global reprisals? Six. Thus, Ivan's sleep was disturbed. He saw India dying of famine, China's robot armies on the move. Checking the blog the next day, he was shocked the camera had also gone to the subcontinent, documenting both past palaces and grandeur alongside future turmoil. He saw eruptions in Indonesia, mass death in Africa, civil disobedience in Europe, US annexation of Canada. Weeks later, he dreamed of Dubai with its offshore palm islands, 520 kilometers of artificial archipelago in the Persian Gulf. He checked the blog again. Sure enough, here were post-tsunami pictures showing how the sea had taken back human reclamation projects. Seven. Ivan went to Bangkok, Bangalore, Mumbai, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and elsewhere. He compared present realities with the blog images shifting futures. Some cities would thrive, others would take a dive. Headlines of acute global problems made Ivan feel both socially impotent and vicariously responsible. Did the bizarre blog mirror or orchestrate mayhem? Countries' fortunes were on a roller coaster. The postings reminded him how one era's wretched coolies became another age's industry captains. Next, Ivan was sent to Taiwan, an IT networking conference. Afterwards, he took a bus out of Taipei to Yangming National Park. Eight. Ivan climbed Grass Mountain and breathed. Returning, he found thousands of papillion butterflies feeding on and fertilizing pink azaleas. Somewhat revived, he headed straight for Tao Huan International. Having time and needing coffee, he found an airport cafe. Sitting, there was something lumpy on the padded booth seat. He retrieved it. Not here. Surely, it couldn't be. The camera? Or were zip bags circulating en masse through the world? Wanting no unlucky Melbourne replay, Ivan stretched, depositing it gingerly on the next table. Soon, a Caucasian woman sat. She was unzipping it. Ivan didn't wait to see whether or not she would pop it into her bag.
You know, I ought to leave some of my old cameras out at airports. That would be kind of cool. What would you do with an old camera? Leave it out there and then just create a site and upload and put a script in there. You think it could be done? That would be kind of cool. I'm afraid to go to that site, though, to see future Melbourne and flying cars. Thank you, Singh, for that. That's just cool. Gives ideas. You know, I've got all these, you know, every few years I'm like, I could use a camera. Then I wind up using my cell phone for everything anyway. Although this Lumia, what is it, 41 megapixels? What the hell? What do you need 41 megapixels for? They show this commercial with a rock concert? Yeah, uh-huh. And it shows pictures simulated at the bottom. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for lying to us, marketing people. What can it really do? Bleary pictures of cats. Probably blurred because they don't have much of a frame shutter control. Right. But how about I just stop ranting and we go over to Zachman and hear him rant? Would you like that? I would.
He pulled over in front of the girl pushing her motorcycle wearing a Sparks Nevada shirt. He said, "I saw the sparks from your tire rim. Would you like a ride into town? I think with my seat down, your bike is small enough to fit in my Chevy Spark. Do you promise you're not crazy?" "Well, I promise I'm not a threat. May I buy you dinner?" "Are you trying to spark me?" "Not in the traditional in front of the fireplace way. It's a spare the air day." He was crazy, but she felt that spark.
Thank you, Zachman. Whew, man. Oh, it's amazing what a meal will do. Just turn things around, although ever wish you had a bidet. Too much information. Right, let's scroll down here and... Oh, Bonchance and Sevi? Oh my god, they're back! I guess reading Red's thing last week put them in the mood for coming back here. So, all right, welcome back, guys. How have things been? Are you all right? What'd you do all summer? Didn't you bring me something? A story? Cool. Okay, well, I'll play the story. Then I'll, you know, be sad because you didn't bring me not even a shell from the beach. Or a Band-Aid.
Crap Mariners 100 word challenge. This week's challenge word is spark. This is a collaborative work between Severina Halo star Bonchance Longfall. Spark. John leaned back in his chair, closing his eyes, pushing away the thought of tomorrow's presentation. A successful bid will guarantee a sweet commission and a major bonus. His reward: a first-class flight to Alaska for a month-long walking tour. He looked forward to his sharp metal knife making a spark against ancient stone, and then coaxing the fire to warm him. His scotch arrived. He noticed the redhead smile from a couple of tables away. He returned the beam. He rose and approached the woman. time to coax a flame from this intriguing initial spark.
You see, all you gotta do is be patient, and all the folks that you want to come back will come back eventually. You see, Bonchan's Sevi. So when I go like, I miss Danny, that's not gonna work. But if I'm confident, if I know that Danny will come back one day, he'll be ready, then he will. You see, it's just that simple. Don't go freaking out. Oh, and thank you, Bonchan's and Sevi, for coming back. I miss you so much. Okay. Narval Joe? I missed him even though he never left. I've got both cats in the room. I got Little Mist on the side table and Tinny at my feet. She's doing the contemptuous curl-ups. I'm going to curl up and face this way. I'm going to curl up and put my tail here. I'm going to curl up and sigh and grunt here. You see? She has an attitude. One person who does not have an attitude, though, is Narval Joe. Here is his story.
Hello, this is Philip Narval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 380 with the prompt of Spark. I made it safely home back to my recording room, and I'm hoping this sounds better than the last couple I sent in. If not, that's my problem. Well, here we go. Long John Silver slept with his muzzle on his paws, while Missy nursed the 5 Border Collie Wiener Dog mixed puppies. The Dolly Cockle puppies were cute with their longish hair and their stubby legs, and their sire and dam were quite comfortable with each other as well. Durgle wondered if he would ever find someone with whom he could be so happy. He looked up and saw Widow Finkelstein eyeing him with a Mona Lisa half-smile. A spark puffed into life in his heart. Wanda was only a few years older than himself, and a right fine-looking woman at that. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Dolly Cockle? Seriously? Dolly Cockle? That's just weird, man. People come up with the freakiest names. Although, I'm sure that Dolly Parton would love to... I'm not going there. Thank you, Narval Joe, and yes, you do sound better. We missed you, harmonica. Don't ever leave us. Take your harmonica with you. Really? No? Okay. Connection lost. Saving has been disabled until you're reconnected. Oh, that sucks. Oh, crap. Did the server blow up? I hate it when that happens. All right, so enough of the Dolly Cockles. All right, let's see. Next one? Justin? Okay, so here's Justin's story while I try to figure out what's wrong. Justin, tell us the story.
Space Turtle. Just a little mister here from the Space Turtle. .com. He must be tired. Private Fenton scrambled to gain purchase, but he continued to slide down, rocks scraping against his battle armor. He struck a ledge and tumbled until he landed on his back. Cacophony warnings blared as his armor didn't respond when he tried to move. Sparks popped from joints as servos whined. Then an orc stood over him, Slugga aimed at his eye. Then his jaw exploded. Captain Greg thudded beside Fenton, pistol smoking. "Trying to be a dreadnought already, Private?" He thumped off, pistol blasting. A tech marine started repairs, shaking his head. "I just serviced this suit, you know."
Dude, you sound tired. Are you getting enough sleep? I think y'all ought to have a third child. Just done. Yeah, I'm being a jackass. Thank you, Justin. And, okay, so Julie wants me to go up for some sort of writer stock up there in Portland. I don't know when it is, but I don't know. It would be fun. And then we could all go, hang out with Rose Rupp and others. And I'm just going to wait for her to decide. She changes her mind all the time. Next thing she knows, it's going to be parasailing in Paraguay. And I'll be like, okay. Waiting for the change of mind. People are just funny, you know? What do you think, Cat? Are cats funny too? No, I am serious, Cat. Okay, let me get a photo of you over there in the corner. Stay. Stay. Don't move, or I'll never feed you again. Missed! Alright, let me get you without the flashy so people can see your pretty eyes. Oh, she's so pretty. She has yellow eyes today. Her eyes change from yellow to green and back again, depending on her mood. And then, Tinny's are bright blue, and they're freaky. So, and she's slightly cross-eyed, too. So, she's, you know, that suggests Siamese, but she's all splotchy. She's a dilute calico. She's a freak job. She's a weird little kitten. All right. And she's at my feet. I'm going to pet you with my feet. I'm going to pet you with my feet. She doesn't bite. She'll claw to get away, but she doesn't bite. And missed. Well, she nibbles a bit. Bruin never bit. Bruin never bit, and he hated clawing and always felt bad. Nardo, after he would bite out of frustration, he would always look sad, and his ears would go down, and he'd always look like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So, he was a good boy. Oh, I should tell a story, shouldn't I? Steven the Nuclear Man, sorry. I just more often I've been getting like that. I guess it's the cost of getting old. Or the price of friendship, perhaps. The price of getting old friendship. Here's Steven.
Steven the Nuclear Man here. I wanted to say thank you for everyone who voted for Eighth Day Genesis in the Ennie Awards, and thank you, Lawrence, for accepting my late submission. This one, while squeaking in under the wire, is on time. His cry echoed from the shattered wreckage of the car. Nothing! His son shook his shoulders. Dad, I called 911. The man shook off the boy's embrace. Those fools! They'll be too late. He bent over again, orange cables trailing from gloved hands to the car battery. Too late, do you hear? Dad, it won't. His son broke off, sobbing. It must! He leaned forward again. He'd lost track how many times. And sparks flew. But as his wife's chest refused to move, as her heart refused to beat, Dr. Frankenstein refused to give up.
Thank you, Stephen, and congratulations on the voting. And so let's say that it's Sunday afternoon. You got really, really drunk the night before. You're like, oh my God, I forgot to send in my story. Or you're being held captive in a Xanthian prison by harem girls, and suddenly you break free, although I don't know why you would want to, and you finally get to home, and it's like, oh, I forgot to send the story, or damn you, Gmail, and it's a little late. It's okay. Send in your story anyway. I will post it up all by its lonesome up on the feed if you recorded it. Now, if you're making me read the story for a late one, oh, screw you. Really? Why don't you just fart in my face? But if it's you've recorded it, it's like, oh, I forgot to, I got busy. I was getting cancer treatments. I was donating blood to homeless children with stuff. Okay. All right. But you got to record it yourself. And I'm not going to put it through the road. It's like, hey, I'm going to do one now. I'm going to do one now. I know. People don't abuse it. Okay? I'm being paranoid. But if I open it up, it's going to be like, hey, I am the anti-Lawrence. Oh, I'm Cousin Larry, and I'm going to mess with him so much. No, it's not going to happen. But, really, you got to have rules somewhere. And the first rule is you have to occasionally use vowels. And consonants. Don't want to get anyone going. Ooh, you. Oh, cut it out. This isn't the Hawaiian cast. Right, now there are going to be people writing in. No, no one's going to actually leave comments. No one ever does. Good. Speaking of new people, what an introduction. Kim has decided to join us. And as you know, I put people's links that they give me up in the show notes. Well, Kim has a site called Apple Bunny. Apple Bunny, my favorite flavor pie, Apple Bunny. .deviantart.com. That's a cat. I don't want to step on that. And she's got a fun one that's her featured thing. It's a tree and, well, and there's some other cool bits that she did in there. So check that out. DeviantArt, for all your deviant art needs, as opposed to your boring state-sponsored art, I suppose. So, Kim, welcome. Have you been here before? Name sounds familiar. It may have been... so many names. You see, if you had, like, Norval Joe as a name, I'd remember. But, Kim, I mean, have you been here before? Oh, I don't know. Just how disorganized I've gotten. I've just let Tom do all the scorekeep. You can't keep the players straight without a scorecard. So, here's Kim, and I've been rambling too much.
Spark. Warmth. Heat. Ignition. The amaretto down my throat to the engine, my bruised heart, my depressant-dipped mind. 1, 2, 3 glasses. Enough for tickets to ride when I want a one-way for a non-friend. 4, 5, 6 glasses. Fill the tank because I'll need more courage once it's done. 7, 8, 9, and Lady Macbeth would be proud of the grip I have on the butcher's knife. I'm a greased machine without brakes but with a purpose. Kill. Lift, stab, breathe. His blood coats the floor, and the cherry fumes lift like fog from my lungs. Exhaust.
Thank you, Kim, and keep coming back. Because I want to say Apple Bunny over... You know, we may just have ourselves a weekly challenge where there are two words, apple and bunny. Hmm? Have we already had both of those? Oh. Damn it. What about both at the same time? I'm starting to run out of suggestions. And yeah, okay, people send in some good ones. Maybe I'll record a few. It all depends how I feel. Oh, I've got this running slideshow going in the background. And the Colossus of Rodvik is the photo from SL9B that came up. This one's funny. Me and Honor looking at it. And Linden Endowment for the Arts. Yeah, full sim artist series. Apparently they've decided I'm an artist, which I'm not. But as a joke, I sent an application for the SL Chateauetry project, break the sim into two areas, positive and evil. I like the evil. And the one on the evil side will be playing, you know, depressed stuff and negative stuff, and then the stuff on the other side, the happy side, will be unicorn shitting rainbows. So I'm gathering up a team of folks to put, you know, happy side. I can do the depressed side, although I'm sure someone will be like, I am the Bruegel of Prims. And I'll be like, okay, I'll just stand back. Go do your St. Christopher wading through hell. That's actually at the museum here in Houston. I haven't gone to the art museum all year. That's what happens when you get a job that you love so much that you are tired from doing it so hard. One person that works hard for the money is, of course, Red Goddess. And you know what? She's never going to let Lola win. Let's just accept it at that. That mystery guy? I don't know. Here, let's find out. A robot reading The Adventures of Lola.
Movies have given women a false sense of romance and created an obsession with love at first sight. After years of watching princesses kiss slimy frogs, with the power to grant happy endings, we now expect every relationship to ignite with an infinite spark. We tell ourselves, If it's the one, I'll feel it instantly. Lola sensed that connection months after meeting her lover. With all the grandiose gifts and the spontaneous weekend getaways, she remembers the almost missed intimate gestures. The moment she discovered that thing between them was in their shared quietness. Often, she secretly watches him while cooking their favorite meals. She then sneaks back into bed and pretends to be in deep sleep. His gaze reveals more than words and the heat that burns one apart. He still looks at her in wonder and his appetite for her expands with time. In essence, they fuel the spark with constant kindness.
You know, you can hardly tell that was read by a robot. Thank you, Red Goddess. No, you don't want me reading those in a falsetto. I sound bad enough as it is, reading to you right now. Yeah, this is all scripted. You see, I am reading from a script, and you are a butthead. You see? Of course I wrote it. Only I would trip myself up like that. Except for Muncie. Okay. Should I go ahead and do Muncie? I don't want to know what we are this month. Just that last one. All right, here's Muncie. I warned you.
Greetings, Professor Action. Muncie here, bringing you a new nickname and another shocking tale of adventure and derring do. Because nobody does derring do more daringly than Muncie daringly does. Do you dig it? Daring do you? Darn right you daring do. Helping. By Christopher Monroe. The place is a powder keg. No, seriously, I've filled your home with gunpowder. I've also saturated the floors, walls, and furniture in kerosene. Because why not? If you're going to do something, go all the way. Speaking of... There we go. Now you're covered in kerosene, too. The slightest spark will turn this whole place into an inferno. Because the time has come for you to quit smoking. I promised I'd help. And by God, I've taken my duty seriously. Gotta run, though. I'm meeting people later. You hang out here, not smoking. Let me know how it goes. Broken Escalator, Flash Fiction Blog at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and I'm on the Twitter at MunzeeMunzee for more of me. That's it for me this week, Professor. But don't worry, I'm like that chick from The Ring. I'll be back in 7 days.
I feel like I've stepped in a giant pile of daring doo-doo. Ooh, man. Kerosene. Wait, I was about to light a candle. Do I know if Muncie has doused everything in kerosene? Wait, I don't smoke, never mind. Thank you, Muncie. Hello, Scratcher. I need to get back in the habit of just shaving every day. Shaving cream. You want to help, little girl? You want to help me shave? You do? Well, you're a cat. You're no good at shavings.
One person who's good at shaving, though, is Tura.
Oh, just reading this one, it's going to be like, okay, this one's going to be fun. Folks, you've waited long enough. 53 minutes to hear this one. It's well worth the wait. Tura Bregiano.
Igor, the spark, I shouted to my hunchbacked assistant. He grasped the great switch with both hands and wrenched it closed. Blue lightning crackled between the generators and the machine at the center of the laboratory. Water flashed into superheated steam and hissed through intricate pipework into the extraction chamber, from which slowly oozed a thick, black, almost living fluid. One by one, the generators shut down, their task completed. I approached the machine, unscrewed the collection vessel, and drained its contents in a single gulp. Aha! I exclaimed. The true, the perfect coffee. Now I shall conquer the world.
you know, I should top that with drinking a sip of coffee with Bailey's in it. But I didn't make coffee, and I'm out of Bailey's, and I haven't gotten more because I know that I'm going to get a whole bunch of it for my birthday. But that's in a few months, and what the hell am I doing? Oh, thank you, Tora. I need to go get some. I'm going to take the 25 bus home from work, all the way over to Specs, get a bottle there, even though I've got a ton of Jack Daniels, and Coke Zero caffeine free, in case you really need to get hammer on Jack and Coke, but you don't want to be awake for the hangover. Good advice. I got to go to the grocery store in a bit anyway. I can't find Stouffer's spinach souffles, the snot balls, the hockey pucks. I love those, but I don't like the cream spinach. So, what happened? What happened to the spinach souffle? Is it not at Kroger anymore? Is Kroger like, that's the devil, we won't carry it? You know, like Walmart does? Those freaks? Maybe I need to go to Target. I don't know. I need them. What happened to them? Where'd they go? Don't make me make spinach, as the topic. What? Planet Z is still here? All right. One more story. But that's enough. Then it's bedtime. Planet Z.
Dad said that Sparky ran away to join the doggy circus. But I know that's a load of crap. Sparky's been sick for a while. The doggy circus doesn't audition sick old dogs. I know what really happened when Dad took Sparky to the vet. Sparky's in the dog army. He's gonna sniff out landmines and bombs so that he can have a soldier's life by giving up his own. I'm so proud of Sparky, and I will always remember him. That is, assuming that he joined our country's dog army, and not the enemy. Bad dog, Sparky.
And that's all the time we have this week. Actually, we have all the time we want. I just stick in stories, then I ramble for a bit, stick in more stories, ramble, and I post it up. We have all the time we could possibly ever have until, of course, one a day until the day I die.com. That suggests that there will one day be an ending to this. And if someone wants to take it over at that point, it's not my problem. So, one a day until the die. Shit, I'm going to have to re-record this, aren't I? No, I refuse. So we've got show notes, links to everybody's sites that they gave me. There's text of the stories. There's probably, hidden spyware from the NSA. So, hello, government! We're writing stories! You know, one week I just need to do one called Overthrow the Government. You think that would be a fun topic? Revolution! Yeah, that'll be a good time. Actually, next week's topic is grace. So, by the grace of Thor, let us all thunder and lightning mightily. And thank you very much for listening. And, as always, keep it brief.